heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. And as we are continuing our march through the kind of the middle of ordinary time, right? We're getting there. There's usually 33 weeks, well, 34 weeks after Christ, if you count the week after Christ the King in ordinary time. And so we're right in about in mid-season. I talked last week about it being kind of the middle of summer as well. Lots to look forward to yet in terms of summer fun and summer vacations and all that sort of thing. What we've got coming up in the gospel reading this week, we have the familiar, hopefully, story of the Good Samaritan coming up in the gospel reading this Sunday. And I just wanted to take a little bit of time to reflect on that specifically. So again, young man comes up to Jesus and says, you know, what are the greatest commandments? And he says, well, or what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do you read? How do you read the law? What's important in there? And he responds, well, he responds correctly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, well, all right, so what further question could you possibly have? Of course, I'm paraphrasing a bit here. And the guy, St. Luke tells us that the guy, wanting to justify himself, said, and who is my neighbor, right? Some very poignant words in that little phrase, wanting to justify himself. And I'm just thinking time and time again, that is a perpetual temptation in my own life, I'm presuming in yours as well, to justify the actions, the ways in which we choose to live our lives. It does hearken to the fact that we are involving our mind, which is one of those things that we are called to love God with, right? In determining our course of action, determining how we live out our faith in Jesus, right? Because he's saying, all right, I am making this choice to live in this way, and I want to make sure that I'm doing it right. Well, are we? Or are we hoping that somehow the rules of the kingdom of heaven bend to fit what we are most comfortable with? Now, believe me, folks, I am not pointing the finger at anyone in particular without recognizing of the three that are pointing right back at me, because I am guilty of this time and time again. So here's a question for you. Have you ever confessed justifying your actions in the confessional? Have you ever actually taken that in there and said, you know what, I did something that I'm not proud of. I did this sin, but on top of that, I sought to justify myself because of, I thought, well, if I could somehow make it seem right, then maybe it wasn't such a bad thing. And I recognize now that that too is, it's an affront to the Lord's teaching and in following after him of picking up our cross. And of course, then following on in our gospel narrative, we have Jesus giving us the story of the Good Samaritan, of the man who falls in amongst thieves and he's left at the side of the road for dead. The priest comes by and passes by on the other side. The Levite comes by and passes by on the other side. And then the Samaritan, just a reminder, Samaritans, kind of the dogs, according to the Jewish world, of these half-breeds that are leftovers from the Assyrian exile. They are there, and they are not accepted as part of the Jewish people, by the Jewish people, of ancient Israelite people, I'm talking. And he is the one. He is the one, certainly as far as you can possibly imagine from neighborliness, from being considered a neighbor, he is the one who takes in this guy, binds up his wounds, gives him what he needs, takes him to an inn, pays for his stay in the inn, and then stops back by to check on him. Now, this is a parable, of course. This is a teaching opportunity that Jesus is using here. But at the same time, Jesus is he's not pulling any punches. He's not giving us any way out of justifying ourselves. And I guess the end lesson here is that really, if we're acting out of pure godly love, out of that agape love that the Lord has poured out upon us in and through the person of Jesus, right, and through his Holy Spirit, true love needs no justification. Let me say that again. True love needs no justification. We do not need to justify ourselves when we are operating out of that place of true, perfect love. Now, of course, we are not perfect, and we have many ways in which we might have all the right intentions in the world, but things go awry one way or another. And intentions count for something, but at the same time, we need to recognize that we need to keep coming back to the source time and time again. The only way that we perfect ourselves in love is by uniting ourselves to He who is love and practicing the life that He has given us to lead. So I guess that's my thought here in the middle of ordinary time and how the parable of the Good Samaritan continues to live and shape within us and shape how we live our lives of faith. All right, so that's my little thought for the day here as we begin this episode of the Rediscover Hour. We have a very interesting and engaging show coming up for you here today. First off, Therese Kunz, who's the director of the executive committee for the upcoming synod, and we're going to hear all about that from her. She's with us to talk specifically about what the synod process means for us as laity in the church. And then Casey Stanley and Gretchen Ludke are with us from something called the Real Hope Project, and they're going to be talking to us about, you know what? It's a very intriguing initiative, and I'm going to let them explain it. It's very cool. So stay with us for that. And then after that, Enzo Randazzo and Father Tim Rakowski are with us to talk about the upcoming Ad Limina young adult pilgrimage to Rome. Our bishops are taking some young adults with them and in their upcoming Ad Limina visit in January. So they're here to talk about that too. So let's, as always, pause here at the beginning of the program and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of Mary, who is our mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we're into our first break. When we come back, Therese Kunz is with us to tell us all about the synod process and the laity. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
But I see.
To the Rediscover Hour. Joining me in studio, Therese Kunz is the director of the executive committee for the upcoming synod and synod process that we heard about from Bishop Cousins a few weeks ago here on the Rediscover Hour. She's also on the board of the St. Paul Seminary and the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. And her most recent job for the past year and a half has been to work with a team to launch the Institute for Catholic School Leadership at the St. Paul Seminary, which I'm sure we could talk about ad nauseum just with that. But we're here to talk synod. Therese, welcome to the program.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. All right. So just in case people missed Bishop Cousins' explanation of a synod, what is a synod?
All right. Before I launch in, I want to say you are a gifted teacher, and thank you for what you do for the church. Well, I just have to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So when Bishop Cousins asked me to get involved with the synod, my first thought was, what is a synod? It really, quite frankly, to me, sounds a bit archaic. And I had to dig in and learn what was a synod. And what I found was that I was terribly mistaken, that it's a very deep and rich process in the church, and that is quite relevant. So in a layperson's language, it's a canonical tool the church gives to a bishop. So a bishop can choose to use it or choose not to use it. It's to consult the faithful on an important topic. And our archbishop has chosen that that topic should be pastoral priorities. And it's to help the bishop shepherd his church. So from this information, he's going to hopefully make good decisions and lead in a really effective way. So I mentioned it's a process and it's rooted in prayer and led by the Holy Spirit. In shorthand, I like to call it a spiritual strategic plan. Mm. And we're going to ask the faithful to gather together in various ways in the next couple of years to pray, to dialogue, to listen to one another, and then to discern where is the Holy Spirit leading this archdiocese. Now, my role on the executive committee and all of the team's role is really to carry out the vision of an archbishop. So for me, it's very important to hear his words and to, to be very faithful to what he wants us to do. And I would really recommend everybody read his June 6th Catholic Spirit article. I think it comes from his heart and it really speaks clearly and fruitfully, I think, about what he sees and hopes for the synod. He says in there something I want to draw upon. He says, I want to draw on the gifts that have been abundantly bestowed on the faithful of this archdiocese. Mm. So he's really calling the lay faithful to come and get involved. He says he wants to discern and establish clear pastoral priorities, and that he wants it done in a certain way. And this is very characteristic of our archbishop. He wants it to promote greater unity. Hmm. So we hope that out of this comes hope that we're moving forward together. And he wants it to lead us to a more vigorous proclamation of Jesus' good news. Call this evangelization, call it missionary discipleship, I don't care what you call it, it's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And this process should be very fruitful in this respect. Now, it's a process of discernment. And I think this is interesting, too, because he's spoken to that. What does that mean to him? First of all, he's got his whole listening church model, which you can read about. But I think I boil it down to three things.
Okay.
The first thing is that we have to start from a disposition that we have something to learn. You know, I raised three kids, and they're highly educated. Thanks be to God, they had the opportunity. But I always taught them there's two kinds of people in the world. There's a person who learns and thinks they know it all. And there's a person who learns and realizes how very little they actually know.
Yeah, my phrase was always, the further I go in school, the dumber I get.
Exactly. Oh, I can relate to that totally. And I feel really dumb a lot. The second is he talks about listening, but listening in a twofold way. Listening to each other and listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Where is this Holy Spirit leading this church? The last thing is he wants us to share what's on our heart in our prayer. So that's kind of a synopsis for me of what this synod means.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Now, there's specific things that are already being set up. Bishop Cousins talked about a variety of listening sessions, which I know we're going to be talking with the Archbishop about here on this show as well. But just give us an overview. You said that there seems to be a spirit of consultation here that the Archbishop really wants to hear from us, from the lay people.
Right, yeah?
And
right.
That's what those listening sessions are all about? Is that
right? Right, right. It's, so this is driven by a canonical document.
Right.
And what's interesting about this document is that the final, it's a process, and the mm-hmm. final event, the Synod Assembly itself, is fairly structured. But the process leading up to that event is very flexible. So we have proposed to the Archbishop, and the Archbishop has approved, a process that's very much in keeping with his consultative nature and with his listening model of the church. So what we have is year one of the process and year two. And year one is all prayer and listening. So there'll be over 30 events where the Archbishop or Bishop attends. And they'll be located throughout the Archdiocese and churches in the north and south, east and west, and in the city. There'll be four that are bilingual, three Spanish, one Vietnamese. And our hope is that everybody attends one of these events. We have a great executive committee working on this. There's a prayer team working on this. And the richness of what comes out of these teams in terms of crafting an evening that has an experience of prayer and an opportunity to discern and to dialogue together, I think it's really beautiful. So we hope everybody attends one of those. 20 are open to the faithful. And then there's 11, now 12, that are focus groups where we want to hear from certain voices in our archdiocese. So that would be people like priests, deacons, religious, Catholic school principals, staff at the seminary, youth. We'll cue this up at the youth day. Young adults at our colleges, seniors in homes. Kind of really broad-based consultation.
Wow.
So that's the first year.
All right. And all this time, all this first year, year one of listening and prayer and listening, that you are listening, obviously, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but also to the voices of you. It sounds to me as if you're saying you would encourage everyone across the Archdiocese to turn out to these, to one of these listening sessions.
I would, and I would encourage everybody to bring a friend.
Yeah.
Whether it's a fallen away Catholic, whether it's a drifted away Catholic, whether it's a Catholic friend who's so busy that they just need someone to say, hey, let's stop, let's take a few hours,
right,
let's engage and let our voices be heard. We can actually say what we want to say to the Archbishop. He'll hear us
and
he'll
listen. You mentioned before that this is kind of in Archbishop Hebda's nature, right?
Yes, very much.
He's very consultative.
Very much.
Yeah. To listen. Okay, so this is going on for an entire year.
Yes.
Can you give us a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in year two then?
Yes, yes, yes. So out of this, what Archbishop Hebda wants to listen to is what does the lay faithful and the religious feel should be our focus for our pastoral priorities. So this is a process that kind of unfolds. Each section of it informs the next section. So from this first year, we will get focus areas of pastoral priorities. And then we'll take those focus areas and then we'll go into a deep consultation process at the parish level, the deanery level, and then ultimately the Synod Assembly.
Okay.
So the parish level, this is actually quite interesting, will be small groups next fall, 2020. So we really encourage everybody to participate in their parish small group. And I'm a numbers person. So
okay.
If you look at our parishes, we have 187 parishes. If each of our parishes on average gets 100 people, and I think we can do better than that, we would have 19,000 faithful in our archdiocese praying together, studying together, dialoguing together, listening together, and ultimately giving their feedback to their parish and to the archdiocese.
Yeah.
And I think that is can be a very powerful event.
I love the thought that that there are these listening sessions, but I mean, I'm going to play a little bit of the devil's advocate here, but, you know, you show up to these listening sessions and let's say there's 200 people that show up to these things. And, you know, granted, I understand that they're going to be lengthy and they're going to be, you know, they're going to try to hear as many voices as possible, but still you show up and you think, you know, my voice, it's not going to be heard and that sort of thing. Well, but then you have this follow-up that in your parishes, you're going to be meeting in small groups to pray, but also to continue to put together a message, right?
Yes, exactly. And you will be heard at these. You might not get the mic to speak directly to the Archbishop because we will do that by table.
Sure.
You'll go to tables, discuss the tables that will then communicate directly. But you will fill, each attendee will have a form and we'll ask them, what are the three things you believe are going well in this archdiocese?
Mm.
And what are the three things you think we should focus on? And of course, we won't limit them. If they want to add other comments, they're welcome to do so. All of those pages will be turned in and we will have a team to synthesize that.
Wow. Okay.
So every voice will be heard. It can be heard that way. It can be heard through the parish small groups. There's an email on the Synod website. So there's, I think, many opportunities to be heard in this process.
What is that Synod website, by the way, Therese?
Oh, just Google Catholic Spirit Synod and you'll get it.
That's right. Yeah, well, you mentioned the article again in June 6th on the Catholic Spirit. And I think we should mention the Catholic Spirit, thecatholicspirit.com is their website for our friends over there at the Catholic Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just search in on that webpage for Synod, and I'm sure it'll come up. June 6th was when he talked
exactly
about that. Yeah.
Can I mention that?
Yeah,
in the
please.
Second year then, once we have that information from the parish, we will synthesize that information and move towards to the deanery process. And the current plan is the deanery process will be about 10 reps from each parish.
Okay.
And the pastor.
Okay.
And then it will move to the Synod Assembly, which may be as few as two, because that would be about 500 in total. What's interesting for me, and I think what's one of the fruits that can come out of the Synod, is that once the parish goes through its own small group process and gives feedback to the Archdiocese, the parish itself will get that feedback.
Oh.
So they don't need to wait for the Archdiocese to roll out an archdiocesan plan. They can use that information to actually craft, if they choose, if the pastor chooses to, craft their own or maybe tweak their own work in the parish, because we all know the real work is done at the parish.
Yeah, right. And I think that helps with, I mean, the whole Catholic idea of solidarity and subsidiarity of being together and unified, as the Archbishop hopes the Synod process brings about, but also to get things done on the local level.
Exactly.
And not overrule them from above, so to speak.
I have a tremendous respect for what our parishes, our pastors, and our parish staffs do.
Yeah.
And I really, everything I do, I try to serve them because they're boots on the ground doing hard work.
Right, right. And that's where,
important,
I mean,
work.
Most of the laity, a vast majority of the laity, that's where the changes are going to really affect their lives, right?
Yep.
It's in the parish.
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so how can we pray for you and for the executive committee and for the whole Synod process right now. Got any suggestions for us, Therese?
Yes. So that's interesting because part of what's happening this summer is we're refining these prayer and listening events. And then also, you know, there's multiple teams working on this. So we have our executive committee, which is 12 really talented and passionate people. But there's also a prayer team that has been praying for this synod since last year.
Okay.
And
great.
Part of our process as the executive committee is to draw upon that prayer team and to get their ideas and suggestions. And one of the things that we'll be doing for the parishes is we'll be sending out prayer ideas for the parish. And we don't want to impose any additional work on our parishes. What we'll do is we'll ask them, can you please incorporate this into things that you are already doing in a way you think would work? So yeah, we will ask every individual to pray for this archbishop, for their pastor, for their parish, for this archdiocese, for the synod. We really want them to get involved and attend one of these prayer and listening sessions. We really want everybody who's listening today to invite a friend. And then really, I think these parish small groups in the fall are an opportunity to pray together with people as well. So,
wow. Okay. Well, that's good. And just one of the things that you mentioned before, just to revisit that, what you're going to be asking people at some of these listening sessions are what three things are going well, and what three things, how do you put it, need improvement? Or
no, what three things should be our pastoral priorities?
Pastoral priorities.
And I should put a proviso on that. Our committee is working on that, but our committee recommends to the Archbishop. We actually haven't shown him this document yet, so he may change that.
Breaking news.
But
you
I
heard
think,
it here first.
I think that's pretty consistent with how the Archbishop has done listening sessions in the past,
yeah.
So I'm kind of safe, I think, saying that. But right, he wants to know. I mean, there's a primary purpose of this synod, and that is for him going back to what we talked about, this consultative process so that he can lead more effectively what we think should be the pastoral priorities. There's secondary benefits to all of this. Hopefully it's an awakening. Hopefully it's hopeful. Hopefully, you know, we're reaching people who maybe have fallen away from the church. There's all sorts of secondary beautiful parts that can come of this. But yes, we are going to be asking, and he needs to hear, what our faithful think the pastoral priority should be.
Well, and I think that that helps us even now to start thinking about, well, what are the three things that I really want the Archbishop to know, I think, are going really well, and I'm grateful for this. And what are three things that, yeah, I think this could use attention, or I think this could use attention.
And I will say that the prayer and listening events are structured to start with prayer, to open everybody's hearts, and to actually, in that prayer, continue that discernment process of what, where is the Holy Spirit leading us?
Yeah.
So we're not just asking people for their input. We're asking people to first pray.
Yeah.
Then give us your feedback.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that seems the right way of going about it, if you ask me. Wonderful. Well, Therese Kunz, we are so grateful that you had the time to come in and speak to us on the Rediscover Hour here about the synod process. I think we'll probably plan on having you back at some point as the process continues. But thank you, and God bless you with all your work that you're doing and for being on the Rediscover Hour today.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, God bless you. All right. Wow. Well, lots of things to pray for and get excited about. Do go back to thecatholicspirit.com and check that June 6th article out about the synod process. Archbishop Hebda's own thoughts about the synod process. There's lots of stuff for we as laity to do and get involved. All right. Joining me now in studio, two young ladies who are actually talking about something that, again, I think is one of the most intriguing initiatives that I've heard about in a long time. And of course, I get to hear about a lot of them. So this is just one that hadn't crossed my radar screen. And that's why I was so enamored with it. So Casey Stanley is a member of Grove Community Church in New Brighton. She's the founder and executive director of what we're going to be talking about, which is the Real Hope Project, along with her husband, Pete, who's the co-founder. And they just adopted their 13-year-old son out of foster care, which actually has something to do with what we're going to be talking about. Gretchen Ludke is with us as the board chair for Real Hope, and she's married to Dan, who's a Real Hope videographer, and she is mom to Kenton, who's 3 years old, and Amber, who's 6 months old. Well, welcome, ladies, to the Rediscover Hour.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, all right. Good. All right. So kick us off. The Real Hope Project, what's it all about? Casey?
Yeah. So essentially what we do is we make videos of kids in foster care here in Minnesota who are waiting to be adopted. And then we use their videos to try to find adoptive forever families for these kids. Our mission statement is a forever family for every child.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, I love it. So it's the idea is it just getting to know the kid through video? right?
Exactly.
Essentially?
Yep, exactly. One of the hard things about adopting in Minnesota, or anywhere really, if you're adopting from foster care, is that the first thing you get when you start learning about a kid is often all the really hard things about that kid and the challenges that they've been through and the behaviors that might come up. And it's really easy to forget when you read that this is still a kid, you know? And
right.
So our goal is to make a video that helps to remind people, like, yeah, these challenges are real. The trauma that this kid has been through is real. But also, they're still a real kid, and they have a laugh and a smile, and they're funny and goofy mm-hmm. and all these things. So
right.
That's the goal.
So, Gretchen, how did you first... Were you and Casey together on this from the get-go, or how did you come to find out about this?
Well, let's just say me and Casey go back. We are really good
Fair
friends.
Enough. Okay.
Casey came to me about 3 years ago with just this vision. She had gone to a conference and heard about they were doing something similar in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back and said, I'm doing this. I'm doing this in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so just as one of her best friends, she was like, let's go. And
yeah.
so she started it. She had the vision and just... I got to help
and the fire
put
was
feet
there.
To it, and we gathered a bunch of people that were also passionate about it. So it started with friendship, and now we're co-workers kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Sorry, how long ago was this? How long ago was it kind of in seed form, in seminal
3 years.
3 years
yes.
ago.
Yes, we're celebrating our third birthday this September.
So yeah. You've done quite a bit of work on this already.
Mm. Yes.
It yeah. is growing. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, right. It's been exciting. Mm-hmm.
And are people relatively open to this? I mean, like foster parents and things like that. And how do you even, do you contact the foster family or how do you
have such great questions.
Yes, these are great questions.
Yes. How do we find,
yeah.
how do we make these videos
yeah.
basically? Who do we get in touch with? Well, at the beginning, it was a lot of us reaching out to agencies and adoption agencies and counties and saying, hey, we want to do this.
Sure.
As you can imagine, at the beginning, it was very slow and people were reluctant. Like, what are you talking about? You want to make a video? Mm-hmm. But now, because people have seen the videos, there's, you know, even in that community, in that world, just sharing those,
mm-hmm.
We're getting requests for them. So they connect with Casey and say, hey, we want to make a video for this kid. And it's all funded through donations. And so
wow.
the agency, it doesn't cost them anything to get this reel made. And so we love that. We love to be able to offer that service. So
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much how it's gone.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Casey, how long are the videos?
Between 2 and 2.5 minutes.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
just
so really,
really
short
accessible,
yeah.
that sort
yes.
of thing.
Yes.
And
yep.
they're available
upbeat.
Online. I did see you have a website, which is what again?
It's therealhopeproject.org. Real is spelled with two E's,
yeah.
like a movie reel.
Like a movie reel, yeah. right. Yeah. Therealhopeproject.org. And you can watch these videos right there.
Yeah. Yes. We put them a couple places. They're up on our website usually. Sometimes we can even put them on social media. Some of the kids have more safety concerns. So then
yeah.
in other cases, they're not up. But then we also go to churches every Sunday and different events throughout the week and try to share these videos live with
oh.
as many people as
mm-hmm.
we can.
That's a great idea, too. Wow.
Yep.
And so obviously, as you already said, the target for this is that each one of these kids would find a forever family.
Yep,
right?
Exactly. Yep,
and
exactly.
We don't have to talk about how important that is and how necessary. But is there resistance to this from, have you met with any resistance or are people generally pretty open to this?
Generally, I feel like it's been very well received. It, like Gretchen said, in the early days, I think there was some concern about, like, what is this going to be like? Or are these videos going to be like mm-hmm. almost like a Humane Society?
I'd like to
like
come in
sad.
And take a video of your
yes.
4-year-old
yes.
child.
Yes.
Yeah.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've proven ourselves, and Gretchen's husband, Dan, is a phenomenal videographer, and he's
nice.
Also really good with kids and is good at like just kind of drawing out their personalities. So I feel like that resistance we got at the beginning went away pretty quickly,
yeah.
which has been great.
Good.
Yeah.
Have you seen fruits? Have you seen how people have come to adopt because of viewing videos or things like that?
Yeah. So in 3 years, I think we're at about 90 videos.
Yeah,
we've
95.
Made.
Mm-hmm.
95. Come on.
Wow.
About 95 videos, about half of those kids are either adopted or placed. And again, it's not just because of the videos that
mm-hmm.
these kids find families, but we want it to be a tool that recruiters are able to use and social workers are able to use to help find families. They are doing a ton of work to find families as well. We want this to be something that helps that process. So yeah, about half of them. And then a measure that we use is how many families, when they hear about us or we go to a church, step up and say, hey, I want to start the process.
Yeah.
How many families are we referring to agencies to start, or to MinAdopt, which is the big agent, you know, big organization that starts that. And we have referred over 200 families
wow.
since we started.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That have said, I want to start. What do I do next? And yeah. so that to us is our success, because we yeah. are not an adoption agency.
Right.
So we can't really, we have no control over the actual adoption process. But if people are hearing, seeing the videos, hearing the message and responding with a next step, we're like, that's exactly what we're here for.
Whether yeah. they're saying, yep. I really want to adopt this kid, or if they're just saying, I want to start the
exactly.
process.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yes. Because those 230 families, hopefully what that translates into is a bunch of kids who we never need to make a video for, because
yeah.
there are already mm. families who are stepping in and saying yes, you know.
I love that. That's a great way of looking at it. Yeah. We didn't even have to make a video for this child because, yeah, somebody's
yeah.
already
families
lining up. Yep.
Totally.
The families are there. And you want to do this for every child in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
in the state of
yes.
Minnesota.
Yes.
And then we'll move on to other states.
Once yes.
Once we finish Minnesota.
Then America.
We're coming for
and
you.
And the world.
Hawaii
I love
next.
It. Taking over, right.
Yeah. Minnesota, okay. then Hawaii.
Well, well, yeah, that's good. And especially in January, you have to do yeah. a lot of filming down there in
exactly.
January.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, this must take a tremendous amount of work. How many people do you have working with you on this?
So I'm full-time.
Yeah.
And then Gretchen's husband, he's technically a contractor, but he's basically full-time.
He's
and
the only videographer right now.
Yes.
You have one videographer.
One videographer.
He's on it.
We
yeah.
drive a lot.
Lots of driving all over
well,
the
how
state.
How far have you gone?
I think the furthest was we went to Fargo recently. Bemidji.
That's not in Minnesota.
Bemidji. Yeah, right.
yeah. So you're already in
lots
more than one
Duluth
state.
Lots of Duluth trips.
Okay.
Lots of trips to Duluth, yeah.
Rochester. I mean, up. Down all around,
especially in our first year or two, because the smaller counties were usually the ones that were more open to working with us.
Yeah.
The bigger counties, there was just a lot more red tape to work through, and so now we're working with all counties, but in the beginning it was like these small rural counties, and we were like, okay,
here
we'll drive
we go.
4 hours
yep.
for one shoot, 4 hours home.
wow. And I can understand how there might be the need for some support for that, some financial support.
Yes,
because,
definitely.
Yeah, even with a small staff, you're on the road, you're
yep.
burning gas. I would assume it takes people's, you need your equipment and you need to
yep.
do all the
yep.
editing
and all the
time.
Editing hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. All right. So would there happen to be a way that people can find about how to support the Real Hope Project as
oh,
well?
Oh, come on.
Thank you for asking.
Great question.
yeah. Our website, therealhopeproject.org, there's a little spot in the corner where you can give. And we love every, I mean, we're so thankful for every penny that comes through. But as an organization, we really survive off of monthly givers. We have people around the state who have said, I can give $20 a month. I can give $40 a month. And it's because of those families that we can say yes to a shoot that's 6 months out, because we know our monthly givers will be there to make sure it happens.
Yep. Giving financially is an awesome way to support. Also, like we said, we go to churches every Sunday. And
yeah.
so if mm-hmm. anyone listening has any, you know, sway at a parish or at a church that they can just invite us to, just again, go to the website, email Casey. It's just
what happens when you do that?
When you do that, great question.
Yeah.
Sometimes Casey will share the whole time. Otherwise, other times it's just like a 10-minute, this is why adoption's important, introducing one of the kids, and then kind of having a table sort of out in the lobby with more information if you want to know more about adopting or watch some more of these videos at the table.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking for just more churches to and more people to share with. The more people we can share these videos with, the better the chances that this kid is going to find their
family.
Well,
yeah, I'm even thinking of something like, you know, after a mass, you might have a coffee and donuts thing going on.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. You're downstairs there showing some videos while
totally.
People are drinking coffee and eating
exactly.
donuts.
Yep. Anything like that. We go to different events
yeah.
just to get the word out to as many people as possible. And if you have Facebook, if you've heard of Facebook.
which we are, yeah, we're recording on Facebook.
Oh,
so,
perfect.
You know,
right. Love that. So yeah, like our page. And when we share a video on there, share it with your friends. Maybe mm-hmm. you're not ready to adopt, but you don't know your 3,000 friends, because you all have 3,000. if they're thinking about it and what's on their heart. So sharing the videos, watching them is just huge for us as well
yeah.
to reach as many people as possible. We want as many people to see them. So that one family that's going to adopt them, you know, can meet them.
That's, mm-hmm. I think this is staggering. Obviously, there's some divine intervention here that is coming in to inspire.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
we agree.
This
yes.
idea.
Casey's cool, but, you know, not that cool.
Yeah.
I'm exactly. glad you guys go way back. I don't want to be refereeing any fights here in the studio right now. Wow. Okay, so obviously your husbands are both involved. Mm-hmm. Casey,
yeah,
Pete
awesome.
Was a co-founder, and mm-hmm. Dan is a videographer mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. And one of them, did I see one of them at least sits on the board as well?
Yeah, my husband's on the board.
Yeah, yep. Pete's on the board as yep. well. So this is a family
yes.
mission.
Yeah, that's true.
It really
yep.
is. Yep.
Right, which seems to fit the theme.
Yes.
Right.
Good point.
Yes.
Yeah. Never thought about it like that.
Right. Okay, but... what about others, you know, close friends of yours, any relatives? I mean, are they all kind of gung-ho in favor, or are they all, or some of them kind of thinking, well, it seems a little strange?
I think right away when it was like, what is it? And explaining it to people, that was like confusing. But once they see the videos, they're like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally understand. And our families and friends are really, I think, what got this thing on its feet, just
sure.
financially and just getting the word out. And so they're just huge, huge
yeah.
supporters.
Yeah. And we really, one of our goals as an organization is to be a bridge between church and state. And because mm. these kids are, they're wards of state. And, but we know that the faith community has such a huge role to play in this.
Yes.
And so it's just been amazing to see our own communities, all the different churches that we've been involved in and where our family and friends attend. Like that has really helped to launch us well, because we can just call our, it really started with kind of our group of friends and family, where we called and said, hey, Amy, your dad is a pastor. Can we go to his church? You know, and yep. the financial support that came from that, and the prayer and encouragement that came from that
totally.
Has just been absolutely huge for us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. What a fantastic idea. Okay, so we've got just a couple minutes left here, but I did want to get your take, especially, well, from both of you, certainly, but you just adopted your son, Casey, and everything. So why is adoption important? Just give us.
Oh man!
Why is adoption important?
Because God created us for family,
right?
And when kids don't have family, the results are pretty devastating. There are some statistics around what happens when kids age out of foster care without a family, and it is like it's every issue that the church is passionate about. It's homelessness, it's prison, it's sex trafficking, it's all these things. That's where so often kids land if they don't have a family, because this is the way that God designed us. We are not okay without a family. Mm-hmm. And so for us, adopting our son has just been like one of the greatest joys that we've ever experienced. He's the coolest kid. And it's just mm-hmm. been amazing to see the way that God has woven him into our family. Like, he just fits with us.
He's 13.
So well. He's 13. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He's a wild man. He's
wonderful.
Great.
Love yeah. it. Okay. Gretchen, same question. Why is adoption important?
Why is it important? Family. I mean, like what Casey said is I know you said the best thing. You stole the best answer. I mean, we need family. And I think, again, just imagining life without family is just, it's devastating. And so for people to step in and say, I'm going to be your family, is just huge. And we say it often when we go to churches, but like, that's our story, is that we were adopted and we needed family, and the Lord welcomed us into his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really is the story of the gospel. And so it is just like at the heart of what we're about. Mm-hmm. And so when it happens in life and people say yes to you, mm-hmm. you know, that is just such a beautiful picture of what God offered us and has done for us. So we love that.
Yeah.
We love being a part of that.
Behold, yeah. what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called yeah. the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can pass that right along to the next generation.
Yes.
Yep. Amen.
Love it. Well, Casey Stanley, Gretchen Lucky, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. And God bless you on all the work that you do.
Thank
Give me
you.
That website one more time. Real Hope Project.
It's therealhopeproject.org.
And R-E-E-L.
Yeah.
Therealhopeproject.org. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, God bless you and all you do. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Oh,
we're going to head into a break. When we come back, we've got Enzo Randazzo and Father Tim Rakowski, and we're going to be talking about the Ad Lim and a Young Adult Pilgrimage to Rome. Stay with us. Rediscover.
The biggest thing is to proclaim the liberating message to young people. Your life isn't about you.
Relevant Radio contributor, Monsignor James Shea.
Your life is not about you, young people. It's your life, yes it is, but it's not about you. And unless you find a way to give your whole self away in love, unless you understand that your talents, those talents are more needed by others than by you, unless you understand that your life is meant to be about some great, heroic, and phenomenal service that you can pour yourself into, unless you realize your life is not about you, you'll never be happy. You'll never find meaning, purpose. or satisfaction in a deep way in your life. And when students hear that message, it's a deeply liberating thing for them to understand that they don't have to figure it out all on their own. What they need to focus on is, how can I give myself away? It's not about you.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
Walk in a room, you look out a window and something's there.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. All right, joining me now in studio, the long-awaited, presence of Enzo Randazzo, but Enzo, I'm throwing you under the bus. Father Tim Rutkowski joining us. Yes, thank you very much for joining us, Father. And Enzo, a regular men's evangelization manager, a regular appearance on the program here. As a matter of fact, I think you're recently full-time now.
That's right. Yeah, I must be doing something
month, right.
Right?
Yeah, all right. Fantastic. You're working with the Office of Evangelization full-time.
Thanks be to God, yeah.
Yeah, and we're here talking to you. I mean, our bishops... I'm questioning their sanity a little bit here, because they've decided for their upcoming ad limina visit here in January, they're going to take a group of young adults with them. Is that right?
That is correct.
That's right, yep. Yeah.
Okay, tell me about this whole, I hope so, Father, but tell me about how this whole thing came about. I mean, where did it start? Where did the thought of taking young adults to Rome come about?
Yeah, well, I'll say that I was just walking at the chancery, and I ran into Archbishop, and we started talking about his ad limina visit, and we agreed that it would be awesome to bring a group of young adults to Rome. The ad limina is a time where bishops are sort of reporting on the state of their archdiocese or their diocese to the Holy Father. They are also visiting the tombs of the saints, and the great life of the young adult Catholic community in this archdiocese is a great fruit that I think our Archbishop and Bishop Cousins as well they're very proud of, and they want to bring sort of the fruits of the labor in the archdiocese to the Holy Father. And also, a pilgrimage is always a great opportunity to grow and to grow in faith. So it just seemed like a fitting thing to do, and so we're here arranging it. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, Father, you're the chaplain for the pilgrimage, is that right?
That is correct, yes. Enzo approached me and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think?" I said, "Well, that'd be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for these young people, for the young adults. You know, it's such an important time in their life. You know, many of them are kind of starting new careers or, you know, entering into their vocation as parents or discerning. And so going on pilgrimage with the Archbishop and the Bishop, that would be an excellent opportunity. And then, as well as having studied in Rome for 5 years, just knowing some of the incredible blessings and opportunities that are there to encounter Christ, to encounter Jesus in a new way, and to encounter him, especially in the life of that local church of Rome, with its history, with the beauty of the art of the churches and the history and the witness of the saints. It's an incredible way to give back after having studied there for so many years and to share the joy of that experience.
Yeah, and you having been there, you have the lay of the land there a little bit too, you know, all the secrets, right?
Yeah, well, some of the secrets.
I suppose Rome, the eternal city, has a few secrets, I suppose. Yeah.
So I have to say, Father Ratkowski, we were going over the schedule, and one of the days, so for the ad limina visit, we have four opportunities to go to Mass on four different days in each of the basilicas in Rome, the major basilicas.
Yeah.
And one of them, Santa Maria Maggiore, it's a beautiful basilica. I love it. I said to Father, I wonder if we could get a tour there. He goes, "Oh, I can give everybody a tour of Santa Maria Maggiore."
So, fantastic.
Well, I guess now it's official.
Yep. Well, now it's happening. It was said here on the Rediscover Hour, so yeah, it's happening.
Can't
now.
Can't break any promises.
That's right. How many young adults are you planning on taking with you?
The plan right now is 15 from the Archdiocese, so there are limited spots. There's already been a lot of applicants, and then 10 are coming from other dioceses in our province. So this is actually, a lot of people don't know this, but this is the province of St. Paul, Minneapolis, includes North and South Dakota, Iowa, I believe, and Am I missing anything? And all of Minnesota, obviously. So 10 pilgrims will come from the other diocese, and then this archdiocese will have 15 slots.
Wow. That's great. I mean, 25 total?
Yeah,
wow.
25, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. Now, you said applications. You're taking applications for this. It's not a hand-picked thing.
That's right. You know, it's...
There's some pause there,
well,
I think.
Me and Father were talking. It's a great and unique opportunity to come to Rome.
Yeah.
And we in the Office of Evangelization, we want to make sure that we're not doing things right, the so-called preaching to the choir.
Hmm.
And so we see this opportunity, this pilgrimage. In fact, the very reason we're here on the radio is we're not so much inviting people to just come. We want people to know this is an opportunity for someone in your life to grow in their faith. Pilgrimage is an opportunity to grow in love for Christ, to walk in the paths of the saints. It's a place where it's a time where you're just plucked out of where you are and you're put in this situation where it's fertile ground for growth. And so we want people to think and pray about who is best to come on this trip with the bishops, right? Certainly a leader, someone who's proclaiming the Christian revelation, they ought to apply. I'm not saying that that's not the case. But also we want to have a good mix of people who maybe just that faith that they're in that place where something is growing in their heart. And this would just give that seed more room to grow, you know, to take root, to really take root. Pilgrimage, Father and I were talking about this as well. For me personally, I feel as though there's a pre-Rome Enzo and a post-Rome Enzo. You know, when you go to Rome, it's an opportunity to really grow in faith, and the church, the incarnation, the church incarnate becomes so real. And so we wanted to make sure that we are intentional about our pilgrims.
Well, let me ask that same question right off of that. Father, first for you, I'll ask you both, but Father, first for you, what's somewhere in Rome that has had a profound effect on your faith life, your relationship with Jesus, that is really something that has stuck with you from your time there?
Well, I would say off the bat, one of the most moving places, and it's a place that the archbishops will go during their own visits, during their own pilgrimage, is to the tombs of St. Peter and St. Paul. St. Peter, of course, in St. Peter's Basilica, St. Paul, of course, nearby where he was martyred at St. Paul outside the walls, that basilica there. And the moving thing about visiting the tombs of the saints is that you grow up as a child, maybe reading some of these if you belong to a Catholic family that, you know, puts those things out on the bookshelf for the kids to read, as was the case in my family growing up. And you kind of, it's sometimes hard to understand the difference between the difference between maybe another kind of fictional story you read and the life of that saint. But then when you go and visit their tomb, maybe you see some of their relics. And then you realize, wow, these are real people who really lived for Jesus. You know, these people who we proclaim to be in heaven now, and to understand the concreteness of the faith that, yeah, these were real people who lived in this world at this location, or preached the gospel, lived as a witness of Jesus, followed him in their own unique way, helped me to understand how I can follow Jesus in my own unique way that he has in plan for me. So that was those tombs of the apostles, Peter and Paul, for sure.
Love it. Okay. Enzo, what about you?
I have to say the Scavi is what comes to mind for me. The Scavi tour is where you tour the excavation underneath St. Peter's Basilica. And it's very special. It's not the sort of thing anybody gets to go to. It has to be planned months in advance. And you go on that tour, at the end of which you see these bones that are the bones of a male of about, I think it's about 60 or so years of age, who's not from Italy. He's indeed from the Near East, from Israel,
Palestine.
Mm-hmm. And they say all these things to you, and you just kind of go, spoiler alert, that's St. Peter, you know. And you see it, it's right in front of you, and it's a great, it's one of these moments where it just, your heart is racing, and you say, my faith has become more real. Here he is. He's before my eyes. And that had a profound, you know, that was a profound punch in the face. That's the word that comes to mind for me, you know? So
you're going to be able to arrange one of these punches in the face for your young adults?
Yes, we have.
Really?
Yeah, we'll I actually
set the opportunity for it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I mean, we all know how Italians are. I know this especially, so anything could happen. But all signs are pointing to a Scavi tour for the participants in this in this pilgrimage.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting the feeling that, I mean, you two guys seem to, you have some places I'm sure that you're wanting to share with the young adults, other young adults that are coming along on the pilgrimage. But I'm kind of getting the feeling that maybe a person who should go is somebody who hasn't experienced much of a pilgrimage before. I mean, pilgrimage is so transformational. Pilgrimage changes lives. There's no question about that. Father, do you agree with that, or is it?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a wonderful opportunity, for someone who has never had an experience of pilgrimage, which is different than vacation, right?
Right.
Vacation, you want it to be comfortable.
We're in the middle of summer. We got to emphasize that. That's
exactly,
right.
Exactly, yeah. And vacation is good. But this is a different kind of journey. You know, it's meant to mimic our lives of faith that we live every day, that we are not ultimately destined for this world, but for our homeland, which is heaven. And so going on a pilgrimage helps us to understand you know, in the midst of it, and then after, how we bring that experience back into our daily lives. You know, how I, you know, that lesson of living pilgrimage, walking with Jesus in the things that are uncomfortable, in the amazing moments, you know, the punches in the faces, which, you know, are actually amazing, you know, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That, then I realized, okay, yeah, but that's what my whole life is like. And I lived it in kind of in a more concentrated way when I go on pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
So I wish that many would have that opportunity.
Right, yeah. So how many, or what ages are we talking about here? I'm assuming as a 48-year-old man, I do not qualify as a young adult.
Well, youth is, Fulton Sheen said, youth is your distance from the source of life, who is God, right?
Oh, good. So I'm signing up.
We can all be youthful, but as far as age goes, we're looking for 21 to 35 years, right? And it's that time, just like Father was saying, people are in their professional life, people are starting families, and so it's that fertile ground for the faith to really take root. And so we want to be thinking about, praying about, and reaching out to those who are in that age range, in that state of life, and inviting them to be a pilgrim.
Okay, and where do they find applications? How can somebody, if they want to apply for this, really, it sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage.
Yeah. Good question. So we just want people to, they can do one of two things. They can have a recommendation that attests to their efforts and efficaciousness, I guess I'll say, as an evangelist, like how good they are as an evangelist. They can have a kind of letter of recommendation for them sent to me, my email. I'll say it here in a second. Or they can write their own essay responding to the question, how has the local church helped you come closer to Christ, right? Grow in your life with Christ. And that could be anybody. That doesn't mean that you could just be taking that one step closer to the heart of Christ, right? You could say, you know, I went to this event and I talked to some Catholics and they had a lot of joy and I just started becoming curious and about the figure of Christ, about who Christ is. So those are the sort of two ways one can apply, and they can email those actually to me. My email is my last name, Randazzo, RANDAZZO, and then my first initial V, as in Vincenzo, randazzov@archspm.org. And then they can also just go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org, and all that information, everything I just said is there as well.
All right, so. Fantastic. All right, well, it does sound like a very unique, if not once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I pray that, I thank you for setting this up, guys, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I was joking earlier about our bishops and they're questioning their sanity. I think it's a great thing that they're taking these young adults. I'm grateful that the two of you are leading them in that. Father, before we let you go specifically, would you be willing to give an on-air blessing for us and our listeners, please?
Yes, I would be happy to. Yes. May the blessing of Almighty God, especially through the intercession of Saints Peter and Paul, bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. Father Timothy? I just said Timothy. Tim.
That's what my mom calls me when she's angry. Yeah.
Sorry. Father Rutkowski and Enzo Randazzo, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to head into a break. When we come back, Paul and I, as usual, have all sorts of great calendar items for you, ways to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So stay with us.
rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
And sitting across from me is another man who will not be going on the young adult pilgrimage.
No.
What did you say to me when you're my age, if not older?
You'll sit in a room and listen to a speaker
for
2 hours.
Pretty much what you do. Maybe
in a folding chair.
Yeah. Oh, man. I probably won't be sitting in a folding chair for 2 hours. Yeah, anyway.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. The doors will be locked.
Very good. What do we got going on, Paul?
Tons of things. Grandparents. Here we are.
Yeah.
And you're invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne to celebrate the feast of Saints Joachim, or you say Joachim.
I do.
And Anne, Friday, July 26th, 8:45 a.m. in Steiner Hall of Nativity Catholic Church, St. Paul. Daily Mass offered in the church, 8:15 a.m. Presentation to follow by Father Nick Hagen. He'll speak on listening to the Holy Spirit with Saints Joachim and Anne. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Refreshments will be served, and the church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. For more information, visit the events page at CatholicGrandparenting.org.
All right. I've heard them both, so whatever you want to say, Paul, is fine. All right. Here's another thing for grandparents. Save the date for Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will take place on Saturday, August 24th, between 8:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Conference will include keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bamanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. We also have an hour of adoration led by Bishop Andrew Cousins and more. Find more details and register at CatholicGrandparenting.org.
Women, you're invited to the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat on Saturday, September 28th, 8:30 to 3 at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Theme is Living Grace, Seeing the Extraordinary in the Ordinary. And it begins with Mass celebrated by Bishop Andrew Cousins. The day includes awesome keynote speakers, including Nell O'Leary, Father Brian Park, and Dia Boyle. Find out more about speakers and the retreat on the event page at archspm.org and register today.
Be transformed and transform the world. You're invited to sign up for the Missionary Discipleship Series taking place this October 2019 to May of 2020. The Missionary Discipleship Journey consists of 3 4-week sessions. Each week includes a live presentation, reflection, prayer, Q&A, and a small group discussion. Speakers include Father Bryce Evans, Ryan O'Hara, Molly Shore, and even yours truly. This year, the series is offered at two locations, Tuesdays at Epiphany in Coon Rapids and Thursdays at St. Joseph's in Waconia. Find the full schedule for all sessions and register on the events page at archspm.org.
And quickly, join the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Office of Evangelization on a grandparents' pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Find out more at pilgrimagesbycts.com. Click on upcoming trips.
Very nice. Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we'll start right here in Minnesota with Nell O'Leary, managing editor of Blessed She, keynote speaker at the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat. And then Relevant Radio's own Father Rocky and champion and Father Donald Brick will talk about some of the spiritual sites in Wisconsin. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life.
You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.